Yay. I haven't said anything yet. All right. The importance of spreading God's word is something that's clear throughout Scripture. It's found everywhere in the Bible. I'm just going to read this to you. It's out of Romans 10:13 through 15. It says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." Now, maybe, like many of the things God asks us to do or tells us to do or tells us not to do, it's not so much for his good, but I might suggest that it's for our own. After all, God is God, and he's perfectly capable of reaching the hearts and souls of every one of us. So why is it important for us to preach? In fact, in John 6:44, Jesus says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." So that kind of takes us out of the equation, right? Why do we need to go out and preach the word? Well, I think that it's because it's healthy for us and it's good for us and it's a wonderful thing that God has allowed us to preach the word. So when Steve told me that I had the opportunity to talk to all of you tonight, I was excited. I was beside myself with excitement, actually. And, excuse me. Immediately. Anyway, I was beside myself with excitement, and not just because I love to talk, and now I have, you know, 40 or 50 mute ears that I get to jabber onto for 20 minutes, but I was excited. I don't know how many of you know this about me, but I've only been a Christian for about 2 years, or a Grace Christian anyway. Thank you. And when I accepted Christ into my heart, I was actually on this lonely highway at about 3 a.m. in the morning, and I pulled over, and I accepted Jesus into my heart, and I felt all my sins being washed away, and then I had the audacity to ask him for something else. It wasn't enough that he had just given me everlasting life. I sat there and I said, "Jesus, save me from all my sins, and then what I want you to do is I want you to help me make up for 25 lost years of sharing your message." You know, I didn't really know how he was going to do that, and I was on a trip at the time, and I came back from the trip, and within weeks, I had a call from the Open Arms Pregnancy Center, which is actually kind of an offshoot pregnancy center of Harvest, and I had a call from them, and I got to be there on the board and do their marketing, so that was a way that I got to start sharing the word. And then, actually, another miracle for me was born out of quite a tragedy, actually, and I was asked to get in the youth leadership team. And that was a very small miracle for me, born out of a huge tragedy in this church. And then Steve asked me to be in his theology classes. And then 2 months ago, I was asked to preach up here tonight. So I want to thank all of you for being another part of my miracle. So I'm excited, right? And I go home, and I'm writing down all these different jokes and different, you know, verses that I want to use and different messages that I want to get across to everybody. And I'm excited, and I'm excited. And then all of a sudden, I got scared. And I mean, man, it hit me. And I got really scared. And not scared probably for the reason y'all are thinking that I'm scared. I'm not up here petrified with stage fright. I'll admit I am a little bit nervous. But I'm not. I wasn't scared because of that. I was a little nervous because of the same reasons I always get scared when I'm about to share the word. Whenever I'm about to share the word, I feel nervous because what if I'm not accepted? What if I say something that's going to come in between me and any of you? What if I say something that's going to put a wedge between me and the person I'm talking to? What if I say something even worse? What if I say something that God doesn't want me to say? And I'll admit to doing that. To have I'll admit I've done that before. And that's the worst feeling of all. A couple weeks after I say something, I'm like, oh no, God didn't want me to say that. That's not at all what God wants. And then, of course, the thing that I get the most nervous about when I'm sharing is there's so much on the line. I mean, it's not like I'm up here talking about the Broncos, you know? It's not even like I'm talking about world events or politics. I'm talking about the biggest thing there is. I'm talking about salvations. And that's a lot of weight. And no matter who I'm talking to, it really stresses me out. So I talked to God about it. God really calmed me down. And he said, Brad, you know what? Most of the people you're going to be talking to are Christians. And there's nothing that you could say to them that would change their mind about Jesus. And I have to say that really took a lot of weight off my shoulders. But it really got me thinking, you know what? It's funny. I really don't feel that nervous up here talking to 30 or 40 saved people as I feel when I'm talking to just one unsaved person. And all of those emotions I just talked about are amplified. I feel nervous that I'm going to put a wedge between us. I feel nervous I'm going to say something that God doesn't want me to say. And most of all, I feel nervous because there's so much on the line. And this really hit me the other day when I was talking with my friend Kelly. See, my friend Kelly is not a Christian. And let me say that again. My friend Kelly, this person I love, who I cherish every moment we're together, have so much fun with her. My friend Kelly, if she died tomorrow, I wouldn't know if she was going to heaven. And that's almost too much for me to take. And so every time I'm with her, I feel this need. I feel my stomach twisting because I know I have to talk to her about it, but I don't want to. I always feel that same nervous feeling. And so I was talking with her about it again, and she said, Brad, why do you always talk about this? And I said, well, because you're not a Christian and I want you to be saved. And she said, well, yeah, but I feel like it's part of your religion, like, you know, you have to convert souls to Christianity. And I said, no, Kelly, that's not it at all. In fact, I wish I could flip in my Bible and get to this equation in here that says, you know, save two souls, bring two souls to Christ every week, and you'll be saved. But if you don't do that, you can skip down a line, and it says bring one to Christ this week, and three next week, and there's this equation of works that I can do that says, do this and you'll get into heaven. I wish that was there, but it's not. It's almost too much for me to take that I only have one rule. And that rule is to believe in Christ. It doesn't matter if I give up all my material possessions and move to China and stand on a soapbox and convert thousands of souls. I'm going to go to the exact same heaven when I die as if I, devoted my life to stealing candy from babies, because I believe. And so she said, well, then why do you share? Kelly, I don't know. I don't know. Why do I feel like I have to share this? When I'm completely knotted up inside, worrying about all those things I was telling you about, when I know it doesn't make much of a difference because God's got the power anyway, and it's going to be the Holy Spirit acting through them that brings them to Christ, why is it that I feel like I have to share? Kelly, I don't know. And then I thought about it for a minute. And I said, you know what, Kelly? It's like when you hear a really great song. Now, I don't know why that hadn't occurred to me before, because actually, I spend a lot of time comparing God to music. And, let me give you an example real quick. Can I get some sound on the piano, please? It's no worries. All right. All right. Second try. Now, was that a sound or was that music? Well, obviously that was a sound. You'd be crazy if you thought that was music. But now, maybe I do this. Well, is that music or a sound? Well, it sounded nice, but it's still kind of a sound. Some people might call it music. But my point is, there's no line there. Music can't be defined. Music certainly can't be proven. Nobody can prove that music even exists, that it's not just a bunch of sounds. And yet, if you've ever heard it, you know it exists. And of course, my comparison there is that God can't be defined. He certainly can't be proven. But if he's ever acted in any small way on your life, you'd be a fool to deny his existence. You know, that's not my only example. How many songs have you heard today? Well, you just heard the worship team do 6 awesome songs. You might have heard a couple songs on your way here on the radio. You might have even gone to a concert today. But all those songs, is that all the music that you heard? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Because if you turned on your TV, any show that you watched had music playing in the background. And that music was there. You didn't even notice, but it was there. And if there were any commercials that came on, there was definitely music in those. And that music was there for a purpose, and it was making you feel things, and it was making you want to act in certain ways, and you didn't even pay attention to the fact that it was there. If anyone's cell phone has gone off today, it probably wasn't just a ring. It was probably music. We're constantly surrounded by music, and yet we don't even realize it's there unless we're paying attention to it. But it's making us feel things all the time. You know, another example, first thing I want to know if I go on a date. Favorite radio station, who's your God? And I'm going to digress right there. But there's so many hundreds of reasons why I compare music and God, and this was just another one. So I said, Kelly, it's like a great song. I said, Kelly, it's like a great song, because when you hear a great song, the first thing that happens to you is it fills you up with this thing that you can't even describe. It's just this wonderful feeling. You don't know what it is, but you're so happy just to be in the moment with that song. But the next time you hear that song, you don't even want to be enjoying it by yourself anymore. You want to call up somebody and say, hey, turn on the radio. There's a song I want you to hear. And why do you care if they like that song? And the worst, I don't know if you guys do this, but if a great song comes on and I'm pulling up to an intersection and there's pedestrians around, I roll down my window and crank it. And I have no idea why I want these total strangers to like the music that I like, but I do. I need them to like it. And when I'm telling somebody about a song and they're listening to it, I kind of sit there on pins and needles hoping that they like this song. Again, I don't know why I need them to like this song, but I just do. And if they do like it, I'm on top of the world because now we get to share this together. And if you still don't believe me, I want everyone right now to close their eyes and picture holding tickets to the front row of your favorite band. And you walk into the stadium and you walk clear up to the front and the band comes out and they start playing your very favorite song. Now freeze that picture. Are you yelling and screaming? Oh yeah. Is the slobbery, nasty guy next to you and the sweaty guy next to you banging into you on both sides? Are they both screaming? Heck yeah, you don't even know these people, but yet you don't want to be at a concert without 10,000 screaming fans. Why? I don't know why I want these. It would probably be a heck of a lot more comfortable if I was just there by myself, but I need these 10,000 screaming fans with me, and I don't know why. So here I am on my roll. I'm like, yeah, Kelly, it's like a song. This is why I have to share. And she says, yeah, but you've shared it 1,000 times. Well, I hit my wall, and she slowed me right down to a stop, and to be honest, I quit right then, and I guess I'm happy that I quit talking right there, but as I was walking out to my car, I was feeling pretty dejected. I felt like she had a really good point, And then I sat down and I remembered something. I remembered the song Grace Like Rain. Now, you might be sitting there thinking about the lyrics to the song Grace Like Rain and be like, what does this have to do with what Brad's talking about? Well, it's not the lyrics, it's actually the fact that that song itself wouldn't let me escape. I hated that song when I first heard it. Man, I hated that song. And then the world wouldn't let me not like that song. I come to church, worship team sing Grace Like Rain, hop in the car, Way FM's got it on, so switch over to K-Love, it's got it on. Go to Aaron and Tammy's house, Brad, I know you're going to like this song, it's called Grace Like Rain. The whole dang world wanted me to love that song, and yet I couldn't escape it, and I just hated this song. And so I got out of church once, this is about a year ago, and I'm driving home completely alone in my thoughts, and the radio's playing in the background, and I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden I'm like, hallelujah, great, no, I am not singing that song, I don't like that song, I don't like that song, what am I doing? So I sat there for a couple more minutes, and I kind of started jamming to it. I'm like, well, okay, maybe I like this song, I'm not going to tell anyone I like it. But it grew on me, and I tell you what, the first 1,000 times I heard that song, I hated it. And then one day, without warning, all by myself, it made sense to me. And so I want to tell you, I started talking to you today about the night that I was saved. It was about 3 a.m. on my way to a hunting trip in Montrose, and I pulled over on the side of the road, and I gave my heart to Christ, and I asked for the miracles to come so I could share it. But the part I didn't tell you was what was happening in my life for about 5 years before that. Now, like any college student worth his salt, I was taught to question everything, and I was definitely questioning Christianity at the time. For 5 solid years, I was questioning Christianity. But a huge blessing for me was that during those same 5 years, I was sharing a fuel truck out at DIA with a very inspired young man. You all know him as your youth pastor, Aaron Holbert. And when we weren't in this fuel truck for 5 straight years, we were flying all over the world. I'm sure you've heard him talking about all of our adventures, but we covered about 17 countries and probably every state at least once during those 5 years. So if we weren't cramped in a fuel truck together, we were cramped in a plane together, and we were doing one of two things: playing chess or debating every possible anything in life for thousands and thousands of hours. I mean, we debated for a good 45 minutes about what was better, smooth or chunky peanut butter. I mean, We talked about everything little, so you can imagine we were talking about everything big, and we were talking about it a lot. And Aaron must have felt pretty dejected because every time we talked about it, I would just fight it off and fight it off and fight it off, and no matter how good his point was, I had one that would match it. And he must have, I know he was praying for me at the time, and I just can't imagine the struggle he was feeling when a great friend of his wouldn't come to this love. And so I always found it a little bit strange, but sure enough, at 3 a.m. on this lonely highway, it made sense to me. To put it like I was putting it before, the song of salvation made sense to me, and it filled me up with this joy. And like I said, I pulled over to the side of the road, I'm bawling my eyes out. I pulled over because I couldn't drive, not because it was bad. And I'm bawling, and I prayed to God, and then guess what the very next thing I did was? I called Aaron. And it's probably a good thing I got his voicemail, because I was blabbering, but I said, Aaron, thank you. Thank you so much for not giving up on me. Thank you for continuing to share with me, even though I know you must have been frustrated. Thank you for sharing this love with me. So tonight, guess what I want to ask you is, who's your Kelly? Who's the Kelly in your life? Who needs to hear the word one more time. You know, the average, for me it took 1,001, the average times hearing the word for somebody is 7 times. So if it took me 1,001 time, it's only going to take somebody else like 0.00002 times or something like that. But the average is 7 times. So I want to ask you, who's the person in your life that's on their 6th time? Who's your Kelly? Who's Aaron are you going to be? I want to ask you if you're sharing the word with a knot in your stomach, like you have to, like you're scared to do it, or if you're sharing the word because it's this gift that God's given us to be able to share such a beautiful message. And mostly, I want to ask you when you're going to be woken up at 3 a.m. by a phone call that says, thank you. Thank you for not giving up on me. Thank you for sharing this love with me. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for loving us even though we're sinners. Thank you for sending your son out of paradise to come live amongst us and have us torment him and then finally put him to death, the very people that he's trying to save. Thank you for the everlasting life that this brings. We know that you're quite capable of coming into all of our hearts and all of the unsaved's hearts and talking to them about yourself. So we thank you for the blessing it is to each one of us that we have opportunities to share your word and share in the glory of somebody coming to you. Amen.